generally consider the psychopath as a fascination with evil, a pop culture phenomenon, or as someone to avoid.
You can tell a psychopath through the nuances of their language and so on, by the things they say when you sort of get it out of them in interviews.
It's John Ronson, author of The Psychopath Test, on this program last year, explaining how to identify a psychopath in your school, office, or home. It's a useful skill. But is it really missing an opportunity here to simply creep out and fear psychopaths? Might we better learn from them? Might they hold the key to survival, to success? I don't know, maybe innovation. We're always looking for genius innovators, right? Hey, was Steve Jobs a P-path? Or try this. What if psychopaths were teachers? No, I'm not talking about your drill sergeant at Marine boot camp.
I am Gunnery Sergeant Hartman, your senior drill instructor. From now on, you will speak only when spoken to. And the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir. Do you maggots understand that?
Sir, yes, sir.
And I'm not talking about your nasty freshman year professors. No, no, no. Kevin Dutton, my next guest, thinks psychopaths are teachers. He's the author of The Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success. Kevin Dutton, welcome to the program.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Great. I have to say, I had no idea what to make of this book. I opened it and was blown away. This is a completely amazing synthesis of pathology and a sense of evolutionary biology. First of all, why did you want to write about this?
Well, John, I wrote the book primarily, to debunk two deep-seated myths that people have about psychopaths. And I think you touched on this in your introduction. Firstly, that they're either all mad or bad. And secondly, that psychopathy is an all or nothing affair, that you're either a psychopath or you're not. Now, let me give you an analogy to explain what I mean by that. Okay, imagine that a Martian comes to Earth and the first thing that they do is get a job in a medical unit dedicated, to the treatment of sun-related problems. So you've got people there with melanomas, with sunburn, with heat stroke, dehydration, all those things you get from the sun. Now, immediately, the Martian would think the sun is bad. Let's ban the sun. But of course, we know that the sun isn't bad. We know that the sun can be bad if we're exposed to it in large doses. But that actually at weaker dosages and with more controlled levels of exposure, the sun doesn't just make us look better and feel better. Without it, we wouldn't be here at all. And in the book, I argue that it's exactly the same with this personality construct, this dimension that we call psychopathy. Sure, if you lie out in it every day, you're going to get badly burned. You'll have what we might call a carcinoma of the personality, I suppose. But with regulated exposure, I think psychopathy can have intrinsic benefits. So that's what the book's about in a nutshell. It puts forward the argument, John, that, yeah, sure, high levels psychopathy amounts to personality cancer. But at low levels, as I say in the book, it's personality with a tan.
Although at high levels, it's pretty amazing, too. I want to invite our listeners to imagine who it is I'm talking about here. Here's a quote from someone, perfectly functioning individual, in your book, and it raises the hair on the back of my neck, which is also a subject in your book. But listen to this quote here. I'm a cold, heartless machine, cutting loose and cheating death high above the snow line of the brain with scalpel, drill, and saw. Feelings aren't fit for purpose. Entropy, emotion is entropy and bad for business. Now, if you listen carefully to that, you know it's a neurosurgeon. That's not a psychopath. Do you actually find the qualities of psychopaths in successful neurosurgeons?
Absolutely, John. And let me use another analogy here, which might clarify things for your listeners. One of the reasons I said that I wrote the book in the first place was to basically debunk this myth that psychopathy is an all or nothing affair. Now, when we look at the characteristics that psychopaths have, those kind of personality traits that they have, we look at things like ruthlessness, we look at fearlessness, we look at extreme focus, we look at coolness under pressure, and we also look at charm and and charisma, as well as a lack of empathy and a lack of conscience. Now, imagine that those characteristics that I've just laid out for you there are like the knobs or the dials on a studio mixing desk. Now, if you crank all of those knobs and dials up to max, you're going to overload the circuit. You're going to wind up, especially if you're violent, getting 30 years inside or maybe even the death penalty. But if you turn some of those dials up high and some of them down low, depending on the circumstances, then you are, as Reuters once ran a very famous headline, you're more likely to make a killing in the market than anywhere else. Now, if you think about a neurosurgeon, neurosurgeons need to, the particular guy who you were quoting there, is a guy who takes on especially risky operations. He needs to be very cool under pressure. He needs to be pretty ruthless. I think any surgeon who I interviewed, you know, admits that they have to do pretty nasty things to their patients. They can't have too much of a kind of an empathy there. And they have to be very focused as well. So those three dials on the mixing desk were turned up pretty high in that particular guy. So what I kind of argue is that, you know, being a psychopath across the board in every context in your life, all of those dials turned up, is going to land you and people that you run into contact with into trouble. But a bit of localized psychopathy, I suppose you could call it, in various contexts, does predispose you to success in various fields of endeavor.
Well, it's a well-written book. I have to admire this line about your doctor, who operates at the remote outposts of 21st century medicine, where risk blows in on 100-mile-an-hour winds and the oxygen of deliberation is thin. Brilliant, Kevin Dutton. You come at this, though, from a family story. I wonder if you'd share it.
Yeah, my dad, actually, John, was a psychopath. I mean, it seems a crazy thing to say looking back on it, but there's absolutely no doubt. He wasn't violent. He was a market trader. But of course, one of the things which I outline in the book is you don't necessarily need to be violent to be a psychopath. He was charming. He was charismatic. He was ruthless. He was fearless. I mean, this guy really was a brilliant salesman. I mean, he could have sold shaving cream to the Taliban. I mean, he was just that kind of guy. But, you know, as I eventually got into psychology and you know, reflected on his personality, I was in absolutely no doubt that my dad had a few of those dials on the mixing desk turned up pretty high. Lucky genes aren't the whole story, John.
Although he did teach you to come up with lines like selling shaving cream to the Taliban. Kevin Dutton, thanks so much.
Thanks. Pleasure coming on, John.
Kevin Dutton is the author of Wisdom of Psychopaths, What Saints, Spies, and Serial Killers Can Teach Us About Success.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. Tense and nervous, can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real life wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?